Whole Foods Market has Thanksgiving gatherings covered. First things first, reserve your no antibiotics ever fresh whole turkey today, starting at $2.99 a pound. Or go with their organic spiral cut bone-in ham, full of seared-in flavor. For sides, choose Whole Foods Market grab-and-go platters. Go even further and get your whole meal catered. Just order online by November 26th. Get Thanksgiving ready at Whole Foods Market. Terms apply.
It is Amber and Ian. Mark Zeno in for Amber Wilson alongside Ian Fitzsimmons. Amber and Ian presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. Visit progressive.com. We have a lot to do here as we monitor our bets. Also, Stanford Steve going to join us coming up here in about 30 minutes. Game day with SportsCenter and with SVP. We actually have more gambling to talk about there as we get set for the college and NFL
wagering
coming up here.
Wagering, Zeno. Come on, just, man. Come on, gambling, man. Is when you can't afford to pay the bet. Wager, well, Christmas That's is true. Coming up. Maybe we're all gambling right now with Christmas on the horizon and kids going to college. So there you go.
We are, and I hope to pay for Christmas presents with
Miraculous
comeback. Yeah, so Miraculous comeback by St. John's and Wagner to go over 144. That's not going to happen. So the kids are getting less this year. Deal with it. Hey, life's hard. Get a helmet. Okay, speaking of hard, the Bears' offense has been difficult. It's not been good, and you know, the funny part is, Ian, that we start writing these scathing indictments of teams and everything, you know, at the midway point of the season before things have really developed.
Dude, we were talking about rookie quarterbacks being bust in week three. I mean, it's gotten insane, man.
It is.
In this day and age, with social media and everything else, and this instant gratification or instant takedown world that we live in, Peyton Manning would have been cut by the Colts after his rookie year. He still holds the all-time INT record for a single season at 28. We've seen teams bail on quarterbacks going back to when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers punted on Steve Young. How'd that work out? The Patriots got rid of Jim Plunkett. How'd that work out? Right, we can go on down the list, man, but I don't remember a year like this one where we have so many people going, let's just focus in on Caleb Williams right now, who it was, you know, first 3 weeks, average. Next 3 weeks, oh my gosh, look at this. Oh, I mean, the light bulb's going off. Look how great he's playing. Now the last 2 weeks after the Hail Mary, he stinks. He's awful. You know, get rid of him. What are we doing, man? I mean, the guy has got remarkable talent, but for some reason in this day and age, and I'm guessing it's because of Twitter, Instagram, you name it, Zeno, that we want to go ahead and punt on a remarkable talent. And I would say the last 3 weeks, half of it's on Caleb Williams holding on the ball too long, and the other half is on the scheme. That's it. End of conversation. But you want to go ahead and say, oh, Caleb Williams is a bust? Do you want to say that, folks? Go right ahead, because, man, this dude has got immense talent. And when it clicks, watch the hell out.
Look, the pendulum swing, you know, and the overreaction or reaction to what has gone on sometimes is a little bit much. That said, if the Hail Mary doesn't happen, I still think we're looking at this differently, because they're 5-4 instead of 4-5.
Amen.
And they are in a different position. So one play has sort of changed the trajectory of the season from that standpoint to being above 500 in a division where everybody's above 500, all of a sudden to be out of it and 0-4 on the road. That said, as you mentioned, the last 3 weeks for Caleb Williams has failed to complete better than 54% of his passes. Previous 3 weeks, as they won games, guess what? He failed to complete less than 69% of his passes. Or in this case, he completed better than 69% of his passes. So, yeah. And everyone's trying to figure out who to blame. The Bears fired Shane Waldron, who was their OC. Here's head coach Matt Eberflus on why that decision was made.
I would just say that the offense has struggled the last 3 weeks. We all can see that. When that happens, obviously, at any position, no one's playing at the level they need to play at. We just have to be better that way. And again, I'm fully responsible for that. And we have to do better this week. Really struggled the last 3 weeks. And I just thought for the best thing right now for the Bears was to make that adjustment. Third play caller. And again, I take full accountability for that. I take full responsibility for that. And it's got to get better.
Look, it does have to get better.
Yeah, no bleep, coach.
But I don't know that firing the coach changes that. Like, again, you know, look, this organization made a decision about where they wanted to go with the offense coordinator, who the people they were going to choose to help Caleb Williams navigate his first year in the NFL. That was Matt Eberflus, and that was Shane Waldron. Now, there's an argument that Matt Eberflus shouldn't have been brought back.
That's the big one.
I get that.
That's the big one right there. That's number one.
Dennis Allen shouldn't have been brought back. No. Doug Peterson shouldn't have been brought back. I mean, you know, these are coaches that should not have been returned but were. Because guess what, guys? Changing coaches in the NFL is not – although owners make it capriciously, I think, sometimes, it's not fun for the locker room. It's not fun for the organization. And it doesn't make everybody – there's only one case I've seen it work out. And that was the 2012 Ravens when they fired Cam Cameron, the OC, and went on to win the Super Bowl, right? Jim Caldwell took over, Ravens win the Super Bowl. Those instances are very rare. So if you think you're going to get some sort of shakeup here in Chicago that's automatically going to fix things, keep dreaming. But, again, the decision to keep Eberflus, I think, is more paramount. Here's Kimberly Martin, who's on Sportsmike, ESPN NFL reporter, talking about the decision that Ryan Poles made to keep Matt Eberflus.
With Ryan Poles, like, my issue is sort of like, I feel like if a change was going to be made, it's almost like the Robert Saleh thing. Like, if you weren't sure coming into this year about this guy, like, you should have just got rid of him and spared the franchise that. I feel like the time to get rid of him was after last season. Because now, if you fire him, now you have Caleb in the same Justin Fields situation of, like, here's now a third offense that I'm going to have to learn. Mm-hmm. And the whole point of getting Justin out of here was so that you didn't set up the new kid. He had stability. He had a roster. And so hopefully for Bears fans, I really sincerely hope that the organization figures this out one way or the other.
That was the biggest mistake right there, where you're rinse-repeating Mitch Trubisky, you're rinse-repeating Justin Fields by having a coach that is probably going to be there for a year, and now you're going into a whole new system. So you're going from a college system that you knew to this system with Shane Waldron to now it's going to be a similar system with Thomas Brown, the passing game coordinator, now calling plays. But next year, he's not going to be there unless they have some miraculous turnaround, which I don't think any of us see. And now you're going to be on a third system. And a lot of – I've heard the name Cliff Kingsbury thrown around a lot. Well, Kingsbury was mm-hmm. with Caleb Williams at SC
yep.
as a senior analyst. But a lot of people are saying that the Bears passed on him and that the Las Vegas Raiders passed on Kingsbury. That is incorrect. Kingsbury passed on the Bears. Kingsbury passed on the Raiders and then chose Washington to go with Dan Campbell and another player that he really liked coming out of the draft, and Jaden Daniels. Why? Job security. That's why. So Antonio Pierce, with a new GM coming in and Tom Telesco, the job security wasn't there in Las Vegas. We all knew that Matt Eberflus, if he didn't win this year, he's gone. So everyone's screaming about how the Bears passed on Kingsbury and the Raiders passed on Kingsbury. That is incorrect. Kingsbury passed on them and chose Washington. So it's not like, you know, that Eberflus and Antonio Pierce made this awful mistake, especially staying with Chicago and Eberflus, by passing on Kingsbury. That is not what happened.
We have a more recent example of this. And what we're coming to find out more than anything is that sometimes what we think about guys coming out of college isn't what they are in the NFL. And look back to Jacksonville. Trevor Lawrence's first year, Urban Meyer, complete disaster. They bring in Doug Peterson. Things initially get better, right? They start to change a little bit. And now what are we finding out 2 years later with Doug Peterson? Trevor Lawrence isn't any better. He's not. And it's okay that the level of prospect we thought he was coming out of college does not equate to the level of production he puts in the NFL. That happens. But guess what? It's okay to turn around and say at this point, I know you think highly of Caleb Williams. I don't know what he is. I don't know what he's going to be. I do know that if they get new coaches in here, maybe he has a chance for it all to click. But at the end of the day, you know, there's no coach coming in here that's going to reinvent the wheel for Caleb Williams and all of a sudden show him things that nobody has showed him before. Because none of the coaches at this level do anything all that dynamic anymore that's not copycat from somebody else, right? Like, it is a copycat league. So I just look at the Bears and I go, you made an organizational mistake by keeping Matt Eberflus and that entire coaching staff in there.
That's the biggest one, right?
Okay, now you're going to reset and do it again next year because Eberflus isn't going to keep his job. At this point, Eberflus is a dead man walking, right? He's a lame duck. He has to know he's gone. Everybody has to know he's gone. They can't bring this back again and expect different results. That's the definition of insanity. But the idea that, again, same thing with Bryce Young. Maybe he's just not as good at the NFL level as we thought he was going to be. We don't know that yet 100%, Ian, but I'm not immune to saying it like other people are. Like all of a sudden, oh, God, there's going to be some magic coach out there that's going to fix this. I don't know that that's the case. Jaden Daniels can play. Do you think it's all clear? Do we think that Jaden Daniels' play would be that much lower without Cliff Kingsbury? Because I don't.
No, but the scheme and the fit between the two,
yes,
has taken
that
him
matters.
To a higher level right,
right
now as a rookie.
Right.
But look, bottom line is Eberflus will be gone, and they got to get an offensive-minded coach that runs a scheme that also fits Caleb Williams' skill set, which
here's
is
an
immense.
Even better example. Bobby Slowick in Houston last year with C.J. Stroud looked great. What does it look like this year? Now, granted, the offensive line has changed. They've got some protection issues up front. There's a lot that goes into making a quarterback successful. Does C.J. Stroud look as good this year as he did last year? Hell no, he does not. Does that mean he's a bad player? No, of course not. But we saw the heights that he could get to, and we saw the floor where he was last year. And that's really what we're grading here. What is the floor? Right now, the floor is lower than what we thought for Caleb Williams. The ceiling may not be as high, you know, we don't know the height of it yet, but the floor looks like it's a little lower, and that's sort of part of the problem here.
All right, now we're going to the phones on a whole different topic. Because you annoyed the hell out of me earlier today.
Well, you said I was dead to you, so that kind of hurt my feelings.
888-729-3776. Phone lines are open on this topic. At what point do you go ahead and decorate the house for Christmas? Is it now, weeks before Thanksgiving, or is it after Thanksgiving? Because somebody around here has already gone full on. I mean, it is deck the damn halls. So when do you turn the Christmas lights on? When do you decorate? 888-729-7376.
La la la.
You can figure
everybody
out what
on ESPN Radio.
Right there. Come on with it.
Bombas makes the most comfortable socks, underwear, and T-shirts.
Warning, Bombas are so absurdly comfortable you may throw out all your other clothes.
Sorry, do we legally have to say that?
No, this is just how I talk, and I really love my Bombas.
They do feel that good, and they do good, too. One item purchased equals one item donated.
To feel good and do good, go to bombas.com/ESPN pod and use code ESPN pod for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ESPN pod and use code ESPN pod at checkout.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience, combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
We get to the phones here on Amber and Ian here on ESPN Radio. When is it too early to put up your Christmas decorations? I am a firm believer. My wife is a firm believer. We'll hang the Christmas lights before Thanksgiving. We are not turning them on until after Thanksgiving. Mark Zeno in for Amber Wilson. His entire house is decorated.
Boom.
Nonstop. I mean, it's like Santa came in and just defecated on his entire home. Bam!
He did.
Just squatted on top of it.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I want to apologize to America and bet your hands bleed. We are right now coming into tonight a whopping 46-19-1 against the college and pro football number. I did it. Under 44, Northern Illinois, Akron, and a monsoon in DeKalb, Illinois. Right now with 5.5 to go in the second quarter, 23-16. That's a loser. That's done. It's over.
Yeah.
Church.
It is.
Sorry,
it
boys.
Is. It's okay.
It's been a hell of a run.
We'll come back. We'll come back better next time. It has
there
been.
We go. All right. Now to the phones.
Let me just kind of give you the background here, okay?
Come on.
I was growing up, it was hard, fast rule. It was like the day after Thanksgiving is when we started all the Christmas decorations, right? ever since I've had kids and I've been, you know, living alone as a single dad, you know, I kind of reserved it for closer around Thanksgiving. Sometimes it depended on my work schedule and everything else. What really predicated it being super early this year, because I usually kind of wait till like November 15th timeframe, like that first weekend after or the week before Thanksgiving. My weekends over the next 2 weekends, because the way the calendar falls with Thanksgiving and everything, and my military stuff, I didn't have another free weekend except this past weekend to do it. So I knew if I didn't do it then, it wasn't happening until December, and that's too long for me to wait for the kids. So I took advantage of it. And you know what? You know what I wanted to do, Ian? The only reason I turned them on, because I was with you, I was like, I'll put them up, but I won't turn them on. I wanted to be proud of my work, okay? As a man, when you create something, as a man, when you build something, you stand back and go, just like Tom Hanks in Castaway, look what I have made.
All right.
Look what I have made. I have made beauty.
And I have delivered it. Christmas
yes.
to my kids.
Look, fa-la-la-la.
No way in hell am I turning Christmas lights on. You can hang them, but I ain't turning them on before
the other catalyst, too. Some other maniac in my neighborhood had their lights on already. I'm like, okay, that's the green light I needed. As long as I wasn't the first.
Let's
as long as
phone.
I wasn't the first one up. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN.
Where do you stand on this? Are you good decorating for Christmas before Thanksgiving and disrespecting a turkey? Or
it's not disrespect. Listen, turkey still tastes good with the lights on.
Stop it. Stop. My youngest actually wrote a piece in elementary school about disrespecting the turkey, which you have done, my friend.
All right. 888-SAY-ESPN. Bob's in North Carolina. Bob, you're on Amber and Ian.
Good things come to those who wait, bro. Every time you play a Christmas song or light up Christmas lights before Thanksgiving, a baby reindeer dies.
Oh, that's vicious. My God.
Tell your kids that one, Zeno.
My kids are upstairs watching Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer as we speak.
Rudolph.
Seriously, I think Dasher and Dancer have taken off. 888-SAY-ESPN. Sean's in Texas. Sean, you're on Amber and Ian.
Yeah, you put them up while watching whatever games are on the day after Thanksgiving, and then you take them down while watching bowl games on New Year's Day. This is the way, so let it be written, so let it be done.
I mean, you have spread the Grinchmas all over the place, Ian. These people, I mean, hey, look, what is wrong? What is wrong with being in the Christmas spirit?
These are people that enjoy the holidays.
Okay,
all right. So you're going from Halloween.
You said holidays.
Yeah.
What did my one son Vincent tell you before the show started?
We're going to play that. We were rolling
on it.
Yeah,
okay,
we did. That's 9:45 Eastern, 6:45 Pacific. Where Vincent, your young son, gave a impassioned speech about why he's okay with the Christmas lights going on. But it's holidays. It's Halloween. Then it's my favorite meal of the year, hands down, is Thanksgiving. And then the lights are already up. That night, if you want to crank them up, man, after Thanksgiving and on Thanksgiving night, turn them on. But until then, it's a big, fat hail no in the Fitzsimmons household.
Again, I don't have an issue with people doing it early. Like I've always said, Thanksgiving is the day. Christmas is the season. 888-SAY-ESPN. David's in North Carolina.
How you doing, guys? Ian, good to hear your voice, sir.
Back at you, Coach.
All right. My wife and I are with you 100%, but I have the extra added bonus of living in the country, so I never have to do the outside of my house.
So no one actually sees it.
But Ian, to your point about Thanksgiving, we always have about 40 people over for Thanksgiving. We have to have Thanksgiving first before we even consider anything else.
Yeah, and look, growing up, and man, thank you, David, thanks for the phone call, and we appreciate you listening every single day here on ESPN Radio. Zeno, growing up on Tautog Farm in Folsom, Louisiana, same thing. We never had exterior illumination. I mean, we were not Griswolds. It was always interior because you ain't going to see it. There was no. My mom was like, why am I hanging lights when nobody else is going to see the damn thing? And so it was always interior, not exterior, but it never happened. That tree wasn't going up. There was not one stocking being hung over the fireplace until after Thanksgiving.
he did have a point. I live at the end of it. Our house is at the end of a dead end, and no one comes up there except for the people, you know, the UPS people delivering packages from, you know, November 1st.
Santa's little helpers.
December 24th, right? But, yeah, we don't decorate the outside. We have, like, the big blow-up things for Halloween and a couple for Christmas, but that's all we do to the outside.
All right, we got a tweet here, Ian. You can tweet us. I'm at Mark Zinno, M-A-R-K-Z-I-N-N-O. He's at Ian Fitz, ESPN. It's from Skibbity, Ohio Riz. And he says, if you live where it gets cold, put them up in October if you want. That's what I'm talking about.
You don't live where it gets cold. You live in Atlanta.
You're right, I don't. I put my Christmas lights up in shorts and a t-shirt.
I'm about to go SNL on you, man. Like, yeah, like, you cannot go there directly. You must first go to Atlanta, right? Yeah,
exactly.
Mean, so, come, let's be honest. Look, here.
There's nothing. More than anything, I do it for the kids. It gets them in the Christmas
that,
spirit, right?
Okay. That's,
like,
look,
that's what it's about.
I can't combat that. There's no way I can come back at you on that one.
So, the kid, you know, obviously I'm divorced. I live alone. The kids came back to me today, and it was a surprise. I had the whole house done from the last time that they were with me. And they were all excited when they walked in the house. They were all like, Dad, oh my God, close the door so we can walk in and see the whole thing. They loved it.
I can't argue that. That's unstoppable. Going back to when Kelsey was still an Eagle and the tush push was literally unstoppable. I cannot go and counter kids' happiness. Bottom line is that when they get older, don't put the damn lights up before Thanksgiving. There you go.
Listen. It's my house, and I'll put the damn lights up if I want to, okay? That's how this goes. All right? Stanford Steve, College Game Day.
What's he doing for Christmas?
SVP. He's going to join us next.
Come
on. Some more gambling. It's Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like UNTUCKit or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. On the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout UNTUCKit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/network.
Ryan Reynolds here for, I guess, my 100th Mint commercial. No. I mean, honestly, when I started this, I thought I only have to do like 4 of these. I mean, it's unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month. How are there still people paying 2 or 3 times that much? I'm sorry, I shouldn't be victim blaming here. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch whenever you're ready.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Mark Zinno in for Amber Wilson alongside the incomparable Ian Fitzsimmons. Money is not our friend right now, Ian.
We're getting beat every which way to Sunday.
And it's not even Sunday.
Yeah, we're 46-19-1, bet to your hands bleed on the year, college and pro football. We gave out the under in Northern Illinois, Akron, in a monsoon, and they're going to cover that in the first half. So we're taking a big fat L tonight.
Yeah, we are taking a big fat L. Never taking an L. Stanford Steve joins us, College Game Day, Sports Center at SVP and the SVP pod. Stanford Steve, welcome. Ian and I were just having a heated debate about when is too early to put up your Christmas lights.
Oh, man. Scott and I actually talked about that on our podcast today.
Okay.
Did you really? Here we go. Come on now. Here we go. What do we got?
I am in the camp, first of all, of I'm not happy with the way Thanksgiving has been treated.
It's my favorite.
Yes.
And we are just getting bombarded by Christmas right away. So I understand that. There's more spirit. And I'll give you a quick one. Last night, we're at the dinner table. My 8-year-old, I see her iPad. She's got a Christmas screensaver on. I said,
We still got Daddy's favorite holiday, Thanksgiving. You know what she tells me? Thanksgiving has terrible colors, Daddy. Christmas is way prettier.
There you go. There you go.
So as far as decorations go, I get it. I get it. Christmas is beautiful. Christmas lights are awesome. So as long as you don't put them up before Halloween, I'm good.
Okay.
All right, so you're hedging. What Stanford Steve just did there is that he got a future wager on Ohio State Indiana at Ohio State minus 10.5. Game week, that bad boy could come down, and he's going to try and middle it. That's what he did. That's basically what you just did. Let's be honest.
I did just see it's 11.5.
Stanford Steve, all I got to say is turkey tastes the same whether the lights are up or down. It's good. The holiday of eating and gorging yourself, it's all good if the lights are up. The turkey tastes better with the lights up.
Okay. I got a problem pulling up the houses on Halloween trick-or-treat and the Christmas lights are out.
That's a little ridiculous.
No, those people should be taken to an island and just destroyed, right?
I agree with.
Yeah.
For the record, Stanford's Eve, my lights went up this weekend and they're up now and I'm dead to Ian.
Yeah, so ours go up. Ours go up. They'll be hung before Thanksgiving, but we are not turning them on until after Thanksgiving. And when I say after, like that night, bam, Christmas lights go on. So there you go. That's the way we roll here at the old Fitzsimmons household. And my wife, until this year, refused to take the Christmas tree down until after the national championship in college football. That's a little later now.
I got a problem there.
Yeah, so now we gotta back that back. It used to be, remember, January 1, January 2. Now it's we're creeping up on February. So yeah, that we're gonna have to alternate it. That plan is gonna be we're calling an audible check with me on the Christmas tree when it comes to college football and the Natty. All right, mm-hmm. So ran into some hard charging friends of yours at the library, and in beautiful downtown Oxford, Mississippi. If you've never been to the library, folks, we ain't talking books when it comes to Oxford. Ole Miss eviscerated Georgia. When it comes to the college football rankings, Georgia drops all the way to 12. Did you have a problem with it? And if you didn't, what was your biggest issue with the rankings that came out last night?
Yeah, I didn't appreciate that going down to 9. I think that's a damn good Ole Miss team you saw in person, Ian. And when you look at the totality of things, I worry about the substance of what they're using to judge the teams and where they're ranking them. I still go back to Notre Dame. They have the worst loss of anybody in the one-loss teams, in my opinion. And to see them get back up, go off a win against A&M on week one when A&M isn't close. Like, I get it. They still got it. They should get credit for that. And then a win over Louisville. I look at the other teams being better. As far as on the field standpoint, I think they're a little too high right now. And you could tell everybody's feelings. Just ask them what they think of Texas. And I've been able to see Texas twice. I saw them on their best day against Michigan, and I saw them on their worst day against Georgia. And their worst day is pretty, pretty damn good still. Knowing what they did with the quarterback situation, I feel I didn't think Quinn was healthy going into that game. I think he is healthy now. But, like, where you stand on one-loss Texas with their best win being at Michigan week two, I think you'll find out a lot of people's feelings. The one thing that I feel like is becoming a fruition is this Indiana game against Ohio State. If Indiana gets blown out, they're going to have a trouble getting in. I really believe that. What this criteria has become, knowing they can't hang out, hang their hat on any wins. But that was my biggest problem coming in was, everybody wants to know who you beat, right? Who'd you beat? Yep. Texas can only play who's on their schedule. And they're moving to the SEC, right? Indiana, with the giant Big Ten now, they're playing who's on their schedule. And in this day and age of these super conferences, we can't compare wins anymore, in my opinion. We have to look more on the field and what the product is and how you're handling teams. And, are you playing close games and eking out? We saw a catch up with Miami. Indiana's been the opposite of Indiana. And then Indiana gets punched in the face by Michigan and still pull out a win. So I look at Penn State as a team. I think that gets propped up because of the notoriety they have as a national school. I don't think they deserve where they should be. So there's plenty to pick from. It is fortunate that it's worked out in years past, but they are setting themselves up for either a one-loss Penn State or a one-loss Indiana against a two or three-loss team that loses in the SEC championship as playing one of those final at-large bids.
Stanford Steve, College Game Day, joining us here on Amber and Ian. All right, you just mentioned Indiana. I want to look at this from a perspective of who's the most vulnerable outside of Indiana. I think Miami is extremely vulnerable to miss this thing. They're likely not going to play in their conference championship game. They don't have a win against any ranked team. They've never played a ranked team this year because the ACC kind of is weak, not even Louisville. So do you look at them as a vulnerable team? If not, who else is most vulnerable?
Tennessee, if they don't have Nico, I'll tell you that. They're in trouble if they don't have him. He hasn't produced the numbers. But still him. He's only getting better. I think if he starts this week, if they're 9-star, if they don't have him, they're really in trouble. And I think BYU still is not out of this thing of missing. Kansas has been in every single game. They got one of the best underdog coaches in America in Lance Leipold. Jalen's been awesome, these last couple weeks. And they're only a 3-6 team going undefeated. It's only a 3-point underdog in Provo. Like, that tells you all you need to know what BYU should be about. They did get that big drive at the end, last week. But I look at BYU as not being out of this thing because they might have a loss going in the Big 12. And if they lose that, I got the Big 12 as one big league. And I look at BYU as possibly missing this thing.
All right, Stanford Steve, you make your home now in the tri-state area where I went to high school. I'm a prep pride. You got to love it. Old Georgetown Preparatory School right there in Rockville, Maryland. Eagles Commanders tomorrow.
Oh, boy.
Okay, come on, man. The floor is yours. Go ahead. What do you see here?
It's awesome down here, Ian. Like, I haven't seen it in 4 years since I've been down here, and it is it's incredible to see the excitement level, what Jaden has done to this fan base. It's really, really cool, man. Old timers coming up to me at my lunch spot, all fired up about the game. And Eagles fans, not having been in this territory in a long time where the boys from the district are a threat. I think it sets up for a Philly win. I just think they're built better. I think getting back Jordan Mailata is huge, knowing what that offensive line is with him and factor in the idea of what Saquon Barkley has been. But, I thought Jaden has answered every single bell. And that's been but what the one thing is no one's talked about is how improved Joe Witt Jr. has done with this Commanders defense. I mean, they got 30 new guys on an NFL roster. You only activate 53 for a team. So what Quinn and Witt have done with the defense has been huge. Can they force Jalen Hurts into predictable situations? That's what it comes down to. They've been able to do it to other quarterbacks, and Russ got in one last week and burned them. But I feel like all the money's going to be on Philly because they're at home. I wouldn't put anything about Jaden, but I think Philly gets this one.
Bills and Chiefs on Sunday, a huge matchup. We know the Bills have seemed to have the Chiefs number in the regular season. So much so that the Bills are a favorite here. The biggest pros versus Joes matchup this weekend, how do you handicap it?
Yeah, it's pretty eye-opening to see an undefeated team and with Patrick Mahomes as an underdog, right? So be careful with that. The problem is when you watch Buffalo, they don't have any identity. I mean, the idea of snapping at the 17 and letting them figure it out, so a lot of times is their best predicament. The idea of the wide receiver position and what that's become, they can't rely on the run game, which they wanted to with Cook. But one thing with Spags in that defense, that Chiefs defense is going to travel. They're the most, not talked about unit, I believe, in the whole NFL. I love watching what we've been able to watch him in person twice. The idea of what he brings to the table and holding his cards and showing them in the second half of a close game is awesome. But the money's, everybody's going to bet Kansas City as an underdog. And I wouldn't have a problem taking Buffalo as a favorite because that should not be the line.
you know where I'm going. I'm a contrarian. When I go against America and I try and root with the big buildings in the Nevada desert as often as I possibly can. That game is on ESPN Radio right here. Coverage begins at 4 p.m. Eastern time. All right, as we turn you loose, if I gave you the Grove and the Library, the talent in those two places versus the country, who wins?
Country.
Ooh, I don't know, man. I don't know. There's a lot of Miss Americans on the Grove and at the Library, man. I might beat you, Stevie. I might beat you. Not kidding.
I look at fun as a totality, and I'll take where I was last week over where you were all week, and that is Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Those are my people. I'm from the boot, and I'm still going against you. There you go. Hey, Stanford, you're the best, man. Thank you so much, as always.
Thanks, Steve.
You got it. You guys have a good night.
See you, man.
Help cover all your home safety gaps with Kidde smoke alarms from the Home Depot. It is Amber and Ian here on ESPN Radio. Coming up next, we're going to sound on and sound off right here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
In the world of football, one name stands above the rest. Nick Saban, a legend known for building dynasties on the gridiron. And in the world of interior paint, Bear Dynasty is a legend in its own right. It's the best of Bear, with everything you want in a paint, all in one can. And it's available exclusively at the Home Depot. Just like Nick Saban's powerhouse defense, Bear Dynasty defends your walls with unmatched stain repellency and scuff resistance. And with one coat coverage, you'll be able to complete your painting project and bask in your team's colors before kickoff. Defend your walls and your game time with Bear Dynasty interior paint at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Valid only when tinted to colors from the Bear Dynasty and Marquee Interior One Coat Hide Color Collection.
BetMGM presents Upping the Action with Jamie Foxx.
Yo, hockey's here, and it's colder than ice, like cold, cold. But with BetMGM, I can heat the game up with overs, unders, parlays, and moneylines, all from the comfort of my 102-degree hot tub. Now I'm really putting fire on the ice. This hockey season, download the BetMGM app.
And get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. U.S. promotional offers not available in Nevada, New York, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. for New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY. Or text HOPE-NY 467-369. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. Puerto Rico, call 1-800-981-0023. West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. Mark Zeno in for Amber Wilson. As we roll on here, what are you giggling at already?
Stanford Steve, who just joined us, Stanford Steve Coughlin, outstanding American, just sent me a picture and said, as an inflatable turkey standing on top of Santa Claus, and it says, "Wait your turn, fat boy."
Yes, like, I've seen that. Yes, that's good.
That's a good one. That's good.
It's very, very
Which, by
good.
The way, before we get to sound on, sound off here on ESPN Radio, quick question. So we have an adopted kid, and my family, my wife and I have had friends whose kids have come in going to like SMU or TCU or moving to Dallas, Fort Worth area for jobs, you know, home cooked meal, whatever. You know, come on over. We call them the adopteds. Well, one of our adopteds went to the same high school as my daughters, CJ, who plays running back for Woodrow Wilson. So they have senior night tonight for the football team. One of his favorite things is, as he described to my wife, those cookies with the stripes on them with the grandpa on the wrapper.
Yes.
So in our pre-show meeting, we were trying to figure out what the hell is he talking about. And that would be the Keebler Elf fudge stripe cookie, which is awesome to dunk in milk because you get the softness of the cookie in the milk, but the crispness of the chocolate under the cookie. How do you not identify the fudge stripe cookie with the Keebler Elf? And I came to a conclusion. You don't see the commercials anymore. When we were growing up, it was like in the middle of Conjunction Junction, what's your function, right? And you'd see the Keebler Elf cookie commercials, whether it's the pinwheels or the fudge stripes or whatever it might be. But to identify the elf as a grandpa on the wrapper was a first for me today.
Yeah, and look, fudge stripe, top three cookie in the list of cookies.
Oh, I mean, come on. Top three. Yeah, yeah. I mean, Oreo number one.
And then
now we get into our debate, like the college football playoff ranking, right, when it comes to the rest of them.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think it's fair. But
in the old school four-team format, the fudge stripe is definitely in. They're in.
100%. There is no doubt about it. All right, time to sound on, sound off.
They said it, but what did they really mean?
What are you trying to say to us?
Sound on, sound off with Amber and Ian.
We welcome in our esteemed producer, James Steele, to take us through Sound On, Sound Off. James, no Chiefs references, please. Thank you.
James, how do you feel about the fudge stripe?
The
cookie.
Yeah, those are good cookies. I mean, I don't know. What do you mean?
It's not a grandpa.
I didn't like your hesitation.
Yeah,
the fudge stripe.
Right?
I wanted a little bit more conviction on the fudge stripe.
Keebler, sorry. I was trying to think of what it is. It's Keebler.
It's a Keebler elf.
Yeah.
It's not a grandpa. Right. Yeah, you don't sound very... there's not a lot of conviction here on the fudge stripe.
I think I'm more of an elf fudge guy.
Elf fudge?
All right. Okay. There we go.
Yeah, I call it so acceptable. I think it's fudge.
We're waiting on a pecan sandy reference here, which underrated dipping the pecan sandy in the old milk. There you go. All right.
Sound on, sound off. Deshaun Elliott, Steelers safety, played for the Dolphins last year. Had some words for his old team on the Punchline podcast with Marlon Humphrey.
This will be very fun. I haven't been able to play against Baltimore the way I wanted to, because last year I played for a team that was soft as. I mean, oh my God, I can't put that on there. That was pretty soft. But there were some guys who were tough, but like for the majority of the team, there's not mentally tough individuals. So to be on a team with a full team of mentally tough guys going against another mentally tough team and AFC North ball, you know, this is going to be fun, man.
That's Deshaun Elliott, Steelers safety. He has some, you know, soft. Dolphins are soft. Zeno, what do you think about what Deshaun Elliott had to say?
Look, I mean, the coach sets the tenor for the team, right? And that kind of tells you everything you need to know. Miami is not a physical team. Mike McDaniel's not a physical coach. They're a finesse coach. They're speed. They do all those things that high-powered offensive teams do. And what happens when you get high-powered teams? How do you beat them? You smack them in the mouth. So what are the Pittsburgh Steelers good at there, Ian? Smacking people hard in the mouth. And so different tenor, different environment. Yeah, I see where he's coming from. I'm kind of a Freudian slip was kind of great. Oops, I can't say that. But, yeah, you did.
And once you said it, it was out there. Yeah, and there's no taking it back. And I don't disagree with what he said, but as a player, and there's some old teammates that I guarantee you he's friends with, they're going to have a problem with what he just said.
Yeah. Next, James.
All right. Giants, not very good.
No. Breaking news.
Yeah, nothing's really going well in New York for either of those, or New Jersey, for either of those teams. Joe Shane, the general manager of the Giants, though, he thinks maybe it's not as bad as we think.
It's not one individual. That'd be easy fix if we could say, hey, it's this. Like, everybody's got their hand in this. Myself included, it starts with me. We have a really good rookie class, you know, that's playing well. We have the youngest defense in the league. We're 17th in defense, and we're 23rd in offense. We're middle of the pack. So there's not a large margin for error when you go into some of these games, and it's 4 to 5 plays a game that make the difference. That's what we got to figure out, how to make the plays in critical moments to get over the hump. And I saw a stat last week, through week 9 of the NFL season, the most one-score games in the history of the NFL. I mean, that's what it is. It's close games, there's parity, and we're 1-5 in those close games. And we're going to look for solutions and find ways to make plays in critical parts of the game where we can get over the hump when it matters the most. And we're not far off.
Zeno, great news. The Giants aren't far off. Do you agree?
Far off from what? The first overall pick? Because that's what I hope they're not far off from. Look, that is a tone-deaf general manager telling a fan base to be tone-deaf about what we're watching. The NFL is a meritocracy. It is a results-based business, okay? You can't sit there and tell people at 2-8 that you're a couple of plays away. And if you want to tell me that, then I would say, tell your quarterback to stop throwing interceptions. Tell you guys to hold on to the damn ball. Like, this is so stupid to say in New York of all places – that it is laughable. And the idea that you're trying to sell that line of crap to the New York fans and Giants fans is utterly ridiculous. And it tells me right off the bat, you are not equipped for this job because you don't understand the audience you're talking to. You absolutely cannot sit there and try to blow smoke up New York Giants fans' rear end going, we're only a couple of plays away. From what? Being 4-5? Spare me, Joe Shane. Get your head out of your keister and fix the damn team.
You could not be more incorrect, because he wasn't selling to the fan base. He was selling to the owner, John Mara, to try and keep his job. That's where the sales job was
even
going
worse
toward.
Because that means you assume your boss is dumber than you are. And you know what I never do? Assume my boss is stupider than I am until I have concrete proof and I tell him.
How do you feel about Justin Craig?
I love him. He's great. Fantastic. One hell one.